with. Instead, I'm going to, let's see here, I'll do this 1 minute PSA.
We asked kids what it took to be a dad. This is what they had to say.
A father is always present. I mean, what real father figure can you have if they're not there?
In order to be a good dad, you need to love your son. You need to put gas in your car so you don't break down in the middle of nowhere. And you need to make them breakfast. Yep.
I mean, just to maybe play like a board game with me, or to just stay home and play some video games with me. Just to do like that one little thing is what I really look forward to.
I'm not asking him to be a perfect dad, but he should try.
He's just a constant force in my life.
There's no other type of love like a dad's love, because it's not comparable to anything else.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm just going to sneak this in here real fast. It's about to go Radio Zeke. It's 5 seconds before the top of the hour here. You are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Radio Zeke. I am Zeke Duckworthy. Yeah, let's see here.
This is Dan Dennett, and you are tuned into WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM. Tufts Educational Radio.
I like the way he says Tufts Educational Radio, because it is educational. While we're sorting things out here, I do have a live guest today. If you are listening from wherever you may be on the internet, that would be WMFO.org, and you could be in England, Germany, California, Texas, Nashville, Germany, Taiwan, all places where, in fact, this show does have loyal listeners. I don't know how loyal you are. In fact, if you're not listening, well, then I can make fun of you, right? Anyway, I'm Radio Zeke. I'm the host, Zeke Duckworthy. Since it's educational, I'll start out by playing a little bit of this.
Sometimes my burden is more than I can bear. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there.
Welcome to Radio Zeke. My guest today is, as George Woods puts it, the great and powerful Sophia Bell Grogan, who is a Somerville native. Can you hear yourself?
I cannot.
You can't? Hold on. Well, wait a minute. It's here. Let's try this.
Hello.
Okay, there you go. All right, got a little microphone action here. You can't hear yourself at all? Try another set of these headphones.
I believe not, yeah.
Yeah, just grab another one until they start working.
Check, check.
Is that nothing?
Hello?
Anything
there we go.
Okay, there we go. All right. Ms. Grogan is going to be entertaining us with some of her outstanding compositions. We're still sort of sorting things out here. Of course, that was Mr. Dylan doing the original recorded version of Not Dark Yet off of Time Out of Mind. And while we sort things out, I will... let's see, I think I'll jump into another one of my local recent favorite type of songs, a band out of Tahlequah, Oklahoma, called the Turnpike Troubadours, off their most recent record, just came out last week. It's called A Long Way From Your Heart. Evan Felker is the gent who is the songwriter here. His song here is called The House Fire.
Smoke. I woke up, I was choking. Lori grabbed the bait. She never missed a note. Took a breath and cleared her throat and wrapped him in a Carhartt coat. She found out, am I right? Next thing I remember, I was barefoot in December. When I hit the door again, it really came alive. That was all she wrote in a 30-second note. I can make more out of less. I can get my rest in any bed that I lay down in. Got nothing holding me. Got a couple memories. A picture of the three of us in my grandfather's brown.
Turnpike Troubadours there, House Fire. You are listening to Radio Zeke. It's a few minutes, 12 minutes, 13 minutes past 11 o'clock here in beautiful Somerville, unless we happen to be sitting right on the border of Medford, in which case it's beautiful Medford. In studio with me is Sophia Bell-Grogan, who is about to entertain us with a song. Let's get a little sound check here. Well, that sounds sweet. Yeah, let's have some.
Check.
Yeah, okay. What's
this? I got my morning voice on.
What is this one called?
I don't have any names for my songs.
All right, so we're going to call this one song.
This is just song one.
A song one. Hit it.
You ask me how far do these canals go? If I got on my back, could I float out to the sea coast? If if I only could shake the feeling of losing my way, I could get lost, but these hands, they are stained with the blood of the Renaissance foe. 'Cause it was me who watched their words hit the pavement and bleed out like a broken yoke. And that's where you'll find me, reveling in tragedy beneath that old olive tree where we never felt alone. Send me on my way again, 'cause I've been gone too long. Even when I'm standing still, I'm carried by a song. Oh, I know we'll make it home. Sure when, 'cause this tide, it drags me out, it brings me back again, 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 again. It's 3 a.m. in the south of Spain, and you're taking out all the bones and trash and the tallest thing in this town is a morgue chimney spitting ash. He said, I prefer street dogs, 'cause they know I'm already dead. And they tuck me in when the others went to bed.
I hate you because you're such a great lyricist. We were talking about this the other night, and sometimes as a songwriter, as a performer, you know, you go hear somebody and you think, that's a good song, but, you know, it's a good song. And then sometimes you hear somebody and you say, man, I wish I wrote that song. And you've got a whole bunch that are like that. You're really one of the very, very elevated, deep respect.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, for real. Also, you're like the only person I know around here in this age, although it used to be, well, it was never really common for people to like totally reject the right way of doing things and just like completely go off on their own and, you know, go to foreign countries solo and, you know, like not tell people where they're, but you're like that. You're like, you're not a throwback exactly, but you're a pathfinder.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know if that's totally true.
Well, you can lie because you're a songwriter. Right.
I've actually never been anywhere.
Yeah. Well, that's a total lie. Although, you know, metaphysically, I suppose that's kind of true. Yeah. You originally hail from this very burg that we're sitting in, right?
Yeah.
Somerville High School.
So I didn't go to Somerville High. I like to say I was sent away to boarding school.
You don't have to go into details if you don't want to.
No. But I grew up here for the first 6 years of my life, lived in East Somerville, Winter Hill area, and then moved kind of to the, like, Cambridgeville, Inman Square area.
You still have your family people around here, sort of?
My mom lives in Arlington, so she's pretty close, and my dad recently moved up to Bath, Maine.
The iron works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, but people are still pretty close.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, to people who are not from here, and I mentioned before you got on the air that this show has listeners all over the world, believe it or not. A few of them, anyway, but I know they're out there, and it does circulate on the air check. For legal purposes, you are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. So there may be people who are unfamiliar with Somerville, and in a quick capsule, I know how I would describe Somerville, but how would you describe it?
Expensive utopia.
Really? I would call it a classic towny town.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's its previous incarnation.
Now it's become Somerville Hipsterville.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to say that it's hip. Like, I don't want to say it's Hipsterville, because I personally enjoy it. Maybe this is just me not wanting to say that I'm a hipster, but I enjoy a lot of parts about Somerville. Like, when I came back from Argentina, where I was for the last 8 months.
See, that was the second lie that she's debunked
here.
Yeah,
definitely. Okay, all right. Yeah. But I remember, riding my bicycle down the bike path at, 4 p.m. and seeing all these little kids running around, and there's community gardens and sculptures, and I went to a supermarket and got my food and pedaled back, and stuff like that is just so, I don't know, it's so utopic for me because it's so easy and it's so pleasurable.
I think the first time we met was probably when I saw you play at the Burren, which is not exactly the beating heart of Somerville, but it's one of the atria in the heart of Somerville. You seem pretty comfortable, striding onto stage and, just blowing people away. When did you start writing music? I should point out to people who don't know you that you are still in college of some...
Yeah. So you're, in some way.
Yeah. In other words, you're this isn't patronizing, but you're younger than me. Let's just put it that way, by quite a bit.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah, okay. I am.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Meaning you're on the rising curve here, and it's rather sobering to me when somebody who is on that rising curve can sort of lay down lyrics that are basically on the road to being timeless stuff, like real serious stuff. When did you start writing poetry and lyrics and, other stuff?
I mean, I've been writing for a long time. Writing has been my preferred form of expression since I can remember. I mean, probably around 6 or 7. I was always around music. Both of my parents are musicians, so it kind of naturally lent itself to songwriting, since that was kind of the perpetual backtrack that I had on my writing, my regular writing. I wrote my first song when I was 8 or something. I wouldn't want to listen to it again, but yeah, it's been a while since I started.
Why don't you pick another song, which I presume is going to be called Song 2.
It is Song 2. Actually, this song has a name. It's called Sisyphus.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sisyphus. Sophia Belgorgan, live in studio. There you go. Up. You want...
Just a little bit more on the guitar would be awesome. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Here you go.
Autumn sun, as it rose to cut itself up on a barbed wire fence, as a whiskey drinking wind hit my tongue, how I long to be set free from this resistance. The holes in your lungs getting bigger, the holes I've been digging get bigger. The man in the moon's got puncture wounds as he tries to welcome in the winter. Rolling these rocks uphill, I'm gonna roll them till my heart grows still. And deep in though I know they're gonna slide back down the nose, I'm gonna roll these rocks uphill. Sparks jumped out at me and licked my open veins. The uppers keep getting higher and the downers keep bringing you down. Well, you can only row your boat so far, man, until the day when we all finally drown.
I think that was the first thing I heard you play, actually.
Yeah.
That was a great song.
Could be.
Yeah. You got that other one where the chorus is in Spanish, as I recall.
Yes.
Are you a
La
Mita. Are you going to do that one, I hope?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I can do that one.
Are you a native speaker of Spanish?
No. I learned Spanish when I was 16. I lived in Ecuador for a year.
Yeah,
So I've been learning for a long time. So I'm fluent, but definitely not a native speaker.
Yeah, are you facile in reading Spanish also?
Yeah.
Yeah. You particularly like any Spanish poet that you would throw down right now?
So actually, I mean, the kind of funny thing about all of this is that I have never gotten into poetry. Authors, Spanish authors
that
I really like. Borges, Quiroga. Those are like my two favorite authors
of all time.
Borges
in particular is fundamental.
Yeah. Cortazar, why am I blanking on his name right now? 100 Years of Solitude.
Marquez,
yeah. He's also incredible.
I'll dive into this for a minute. So, like, okay, that's magical realism, and your songs are not exactly magical realists. They're mythic. I mean, Sisyphus is mythic.
Right. So, like,
you don't overthink this. I mean, it just comes out when you write them, I'm sure. But
right, exactly. So I think that's the point, is that, I mean, Marquez said a lot of times since he's been kind of boxed into this magical realism category, that it's not magical realism, it's realism, because that is his reality, and a lot of the times that is the reality of Latino America. Is stuff that we consider to be surreal or stuff that we consider to be otherworldly is, you know, a facet of daily life for people over there. In my music, I don't write about anything that isn't real. So maybe people who haven't experienced those things can interpret it as being kind of outside of the realm of realism, but I think a lot of people, when they hear my music, are like, yeah, that's real. Like, I felt that's real.
Yeah, you know? I feel that way. Yeah. Now, do you have any gigs coming up? Any records? Any merch you want to...
Nothing. I'm looking for a band. I don't know if any possible drummers are out there listening.
Well, how are they going to get in touch with you?
Put it that way. You can add me on Facebook. That's like one of my goals this year, is to kind of get my... stuff together, you know, with music. I have a show coming up tomorrow at Sally O'Brien's.
Oh, nice place.
I'm playing Megan Ciampa's annual birthday festival, and we'll be playing around 11 or so.
That's a must-see if you are not otherwise occupied.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other great bands on the bill. It should be an awesome night. I think it's like a $7 cover.
Yeah.
So not too expensive.
Go there, meet her, buy...
Buy
her a drink, exactly.
Because I don't have an album.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
And no t-shirts
and
stuff.
And no t-shirts or anything. So. All right.
You're one of these people around here who I think, kind of like Sonny Jim. You know, like a lot of people. you know many musical artists around here, and just people in general. It's like, you know, everybody said, oh, yeah, I haven't seen her around. But they know who you are, and I'm sure vice versa. Yeah.
That's why I leave often, I think. Boston is a small town.
Go dark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this song that you're going to play, what's that one called?
The next song?
Yeah.
I didn't think about this. All right. This song also doesn't have a name.
Okay, this is not the one with the Spanish refrain.
No, it is not. I'll save that for... I don't know how many songs left we got, but when it's the last one, tell me.
Okay, all right, you got at least two... this one plus at least two more.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, all right.
This song... I don't have a name for it, but I wrote it a while ago. Sorry. When I was hitchhiking in Europe, I got to Italy, and it was like a huge existential crisis for me because I had no money, and it had been like 3 months on the road. I was super lonely, super tired, and then like on top of that, I got really bad food poisoning at a gas station in Slovenia, and by the time I arrived in Italy, I was so sick that I had to go to the emergency room like alone, and they had just had huge cuts to their medical system, so I waited like 22 hours in Trieste to get seen for like severe food poisoning. So I wrote this song while I was in this like weird hospital.
I'm gonna call it food.
Call it food?
Yeah, all right. Okay.
I
all
guess
right.
That's fine.
Okay, all right, here you go.
Sorry, I'm a little bit sick.
No, you're...
Oh, we got this. There's only people from all around the world listening.
No, you're channeling. Yeah. This is realism because you're channeling how you felt when you were writing the song. All right, go ahead.
Sick.
Here you go.
I feel lonesome. How about you? I lost the grip on the soles of my shoes. I feel no pain. said, ooh, I'll see you at the end. I've been biding my time, just wondering why we've been dragged down to hell and back again.
Seriously, this is a real pleasure having Sophia Bell Grogan live in studio here at 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. So these songs are, the things they have in common to me, they're like picaresque. That's maybe a 50-cent word. What I mean is, it's like, here's Jack Kerouac, and he's writing this long story on...
Well, I hope I'm not Jack Kerouac.
No, you're not Jack Kerouac, but there's something about, you know, like the story that comes out on this one real long roll of paper without a space bar, and, you know, and that's on the road. And then, you know, here you are, and you're chronicling things as you see them. You know, you're not like trying to write a commercial hit here. You're trying to.
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I agree. I definitely can see that.
Yeah. But you take offense at this concept of Kerouac because you hate Kerouac.
I really don't like Jack Kerouac. Like I read a lot of his. I mean, obviously, I like any punk kid that like wants to travel a lot, his work was really influential for me, but in retrospect he was kind of an asshole.
Exactly.
I don't know if I'm even allowed to swear.
Yeah, you are you're really not, but like,
sorry,
okay, that's me. Okay.
No, he was a total like misogynistic asshole. He didn't really, he was like the PR guy of the Beatniks.
Yeah,
he was like, I'm gonna sell this to a bunch of other misogynistic assholes, yeah. And see what happens, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you get on the radio and somebody says, well, who do you like? Who do you like? And I'd much rather ask, who do you hate?
Yeah.
Like, for example, like I hate Neil Young. I just can't abide that guy. Oh, my God. But don't ask me why, because I really can't say it on the radio. But are there more recent people who you really either don't care for like profound philosophic reasons, or are there people that you do like that you, and let's say there's
like, as in just
anything, this is free form.
I really don't like anyone who's being a politician right now.
So you've withdrawn consent.
Yeah, I mean, right from on. All of this, really.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of this university's president.
That's all right. It's my show that's going to get canceled. You can say whatever you want.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I don't care.
No, Zeke loves him.
No, I know nothing about him.
I used to be a tough student, a lot of the kind of, like, upper echelon characters who I don't enjoy are here.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean... I'm not a huge fan of Father John Misty.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah.
What about His Golden Messenger?
Snarky. What?
His Golden Messenger.
What's that?
Another band. You know,
no,
kind
I've
of,
never listened to them.
Okay. But you don't like Father John Misty?
No.
Because, like, he had the gall to call himself Father John? I mean,
you have to deserve that.
Yeah.
I just think he's super snarky and, like, he has a lot of commentary that could be important, but it's all tongue-in-cheek.
A lot of people would say the same thing about Jeff Tweedy, you know, and Wilco and all, you know, and, like, and
right.
Morrissey for,
right.
you know, I mean,
right.
yeah,
it's
right.
like, oh, you're like, an ironic sad boy, like.
Or the Gallaghers, there you go.
I don't care, yeah.
Right, right. Oasis, yeah.
I mean, pretty much, I mean,
you're cracking
to be honest,
up.
Like, I'm not a big fan of many, like, male celebrities or people who have been super influential.
That's fair. Go ahead.
Not you, Zeke, because, I mean, like, you're cool. And
yeah, but, and I'm about the least influential
you
person.
You also don't have, like, an absurd amount of power over things. So.
No, I would aspire to give it away if I ever
Absolutely.
Had it, so... I'm going to play something, while we decide the next thing you're going to play. Okay. I'm going to play something that we were talking about the other night, which is, Aeneas Mitchell doing a song called Now You Know. Have you had a chance to listen to this or not yet?
No. All right. You told me about it yesterday though.
All right.
Or
here we
Monday.
Go.
Yeah.
This is called Now You Know.
Perfect.
When I think about dying, I think about children. And when I think about children, I think about you. And when I think about you, I feel like crying. Crying for my youth. And when I think of my youth, I think of my freedom. And when I think of my freedom, I feel so alone. And when I feel lonely, I want you to hold me. Hold me in your arms. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. And when I think of your arms, I think about sleeping. Sleeping like a baby all through the night. And then I think of the night, and I feel like weeping. Weeping for my life. And when I think of my life, I wanna be with you, shoulder to shoulder, when we're waking up, and we're waking up, and we're one day older, and we're making love. Thank you.
love. I think about children, and then I think about dying, lying in your arms. You wanna know why I'm crying? Now you know.
Mitchell off of her record XOA, however that might be pronounced. There was a Grateful Dead record called Aoxo Moxo way, way back when, and I never knew how to pronounce that one either. My guest in studio is Sophia Bell Grogan.
Ahoy.
And I happen to like that Anais Mitchell song for a lot of reasons. Not because of her singing, I like it because it's a conversation with herself. And I just think it's not a lot of extra words, just gets right to the point. Okay, we have 15 minutes left, so why don't you play us another song, Ms.
Awesome.
Grogan?
Great. I like the jackhammer going on in the background.
Again, it's real.
It's a high that you want, but already got in me. All good gods come around. Said, how's your family? Been a while since we caught up beneath the morning light. Money's tight, but it's alright. We get by. All good gods learn to fly. Da 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 bump. Da 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 boom. Da 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 bump. Da 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 boom. On my mind, sitting still on a moving train is the best way to feel like a cheating time. I'm fine. Well, in your arms, I swear I'm fine. And now the charros look so much smaller than when I was young. I could walk across, but I lost my soul at a dead end job.
Fourth song without a title, or it might be song five. Yeah, I'm thinking, so you're looking for a drummer.
Yes.
But it's going to be kind of a jazz drummer, unless I'm all wet here. It's going to not...
It's very true. It's true, because my songs are weird.
Well, they're polyrhythmic, and they're like, you're in some strange time signature, and you're playing, you're in standard tuning, but I'm just sitting here thinking, man, this is like some wicked finger picking here.
It's not standard tuning.
Oh, it's not?
No.
What was that one?
It's like open D without touching the first two strings.
Really?
Okay. So the first string, like the low E, is a D, and then what usually is a G is an F sharp, but then the last two are still B and E.
Got it.
Makes sense.
Okay. You want to play us another one?
Sure.
You can do two more. Okay, so if
we got
10 minutes. So.
Let's bang these out.
Okay. What's this one called? Song?
This is called La Mita.
Okay.
This is the one that you...
That I like. I like them all.
That you requested.
But, yeah, okay. La Mita.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a story behind La Mita?
Yeah. I was in Bolivia, which is a really beautiful country with a really heavy past because of, the Spanish coming in and wreaking a lot of havoc and causing a lot of pain and stuff. To put it lightly. In this one town, Potosi, which used to be kind of the capital of Spanish Latin America, there's a big mountain called Cerro Rico, where all of the gold that was used to make Spanish coins was mined.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still like colonial era mining conditions for the people who have to go into the mountains. And it's kind of like this way of life for the workers too. Like, that's your whole life. If you're a miner, you're a miner, probably die young. And there's like a certain amount of like respect they have for the mountain as it being a part of their culture and their job and what they do for a living. At the same time, La Mita is basically this agreement that the Spanish made with the indigenous people. Not really an agreement, it was slavery.
Right.
Where they sent, millions of indigenous people into the mountain to mine back in the 1800s, 1700s, and basically killed a lot of people by forcing them to stay there for a long time inside. So, the song is kind of about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vale el dolor, la pena de toda la vida.
una bomba, mis manos son muy fuertes, porque cada día como los huesos de la muerte, de la muerte.
That's a great song.
Thanks.
That's a great song. Well, okay, this is kind of wrapping up the hour here. We have 3 minutes left.
Oh, wow. Okay, I have a song that's pretty short.
All right, do it. Do it immediately.
All right.
Sophie Vel Grogan, my guest.
It's kind of unfinished, but I'll do it.
Here we go.
Up, I brush my teeth. It ain't never a simple thing. 'Cause when I think about last night and all the fighting, how inviting is the conflict when you're standing on the brink? I throw up all of my courage into the sink. I think that I maybe had just a little bit too much to drink, but it's a sacrifice for this life. We're just justifying all the vices we've been hiding, and oh, what you gonna do about it? I see you, and are you all right away? I threw up all of my courage into the sink. I think that I maybe had too much to drink, but it's a sacrifice for this bohemian life. Or maybe we're just justifying all the vices we've been in. Right.